I was on the FBI's most wanted list. Not me personally, but that's the testimony of Mary Kay Beard. She was a notorious safecracker and bank robber. She and her husband were both hardened criminals. But finally, Mary Kay was arrested and locked up in an Alabama jail. She found a Bible that was placed there by the Gideons, and she shoved it under her mattress. She wasn't interested in reading it. But after you've been in jail for so long, you get kind of bored, and she reached underneath and she pulled it out, and she began to read it. She was drawn to a verse in Ezekiel, chapter 36, where God says, "A new heart will I put within you, and a new spirit will I give you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh." And quietly, on the floor of her cell that night, Mary Kay Beard surrendered her life to the Lord Jesus, and God saved her. Mary Kay felt the problems of other prisoners that she was there with, particularly that of their loneliness. And now she is blessed that God has used her to begin the Angel Tree Ministry, helping other prisoners and their families draw closer together. The Gideons International receives many testimonies like this, inspiring, just like Mary Kay's, on a regular basis. And they're published in the Gideon magazine, which we read about every so often. And I wanted to share some of those with you today. But after all, it was Jesus who said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Before we get into too much of the testimony, though, I want to tell you exactly what God himself said and how he commissioned this work. If you have your Bibles and want to read along with me, I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 55. I'll be reading the first 11 verses of Isaiah chapter 55. Beginning with verse 1 in Isaiah 55. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. For wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and for your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call nation which thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. For many of you, when you hear the name Gideon's, like we heard in the introduction here, that you think of hospitals and hotels and schools and places like that, and surely that's a highly recognizable part of the Gideon's International. But we place Bibles in, we've been doing this for over 100 years, I think it was since 1898, and the Gideon's International is so much more than that. Speaking of 1898, my grandfather was born in 1905, and when he died, we were going through his effects and found a little Gideon testament. His was brown, but in the back of it, He signed where he accepted Christ as his Savior. And I thought, well, there's some heritage right in my own family of people that have, somebody gave my grandpa that Bible and he accepted the Lord as his Savior. And if he hadn't have done that, my mother wouldn't have been raised in the church and I wouldn't have been raised in the church. So really, some Gideon back in 1905 is somebody I can thank for doing his job, that he was in the right place at the right time. Actually, it wasn't the Gideon. It was God placing him in the right place at the right time. But it's through your ongoing contributions, and I understand that the Gideons have been in this church before. You've heard the message before, so I'm not probably going to tell you anything new about the Gideons, maybe just the testimonies that are associated with that. But it's people like you that have been praying for the Gideons and contributing to the Gideons that all these testimonies are made possible. Locally, here in Jefferson County, we've been at Du Bois. We've been distributing at Penn State, Du Bois. We've been distributing in Brookville, down in Punxsie, and other places locally here. And we've given Bibles to police, fire, medical personnel, as well as those in our military, and at the Jefferson County Fair. It was July or August. We were up there distributing at that time. The Gideons International are in more than 200 countries around the world, and they distribute scriptures in over 90 different languages. I've got a Swedish Bible here that we had for some time back, but there's that little Gideon logo there. So, you know, 200 countries around the world, you'll find that Gideon logo with some language behind it. We're constantly at work, as the Lord leads, to share God's word in new countries too. Sometimes, if you've been in the church for very long, you've heard the Gideons before, you ask the question to yourself, well, why do the Gideons keep coming back year after year? We've heard that message. Well, the answer for that is in Acts chapter 15, verse 4. It says, "And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and of the elders, and they declared all the things that God has done with them." And that's why the Gideons returned to the church, to tell you what God has been doing, to encourage your heart through what the ministry of the Lord is doing. To give you a more precise picture of how the Gideons represent your church around the world, consider this, that 80 million scriptures that's distributed each year. If you did the math on that, every second that you snap your fingers, you could think two more copies of God's word have been distributed somewhere in the world. That's a lot of copies of God's word going out around the world. But then you got to remember there's 8 billion people somewhere in the world too that are in need of those words. Our single purpose for doing this is to see lost men and women and boys and girls come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and to seek the Lord in distributing copies of God's word, copies that you made possible to distribute. Time and time again, we find that when people read the Word of God, their hearts and lives are changed eternally. The testimonies that they share with us confirm that, and God confirms it too. There in Isaiah chapter 55 that we just read in verse 11, where God himself said, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's not Jim Brown saying those words. That's not the Gideons. That's God himself speaking. That's a promise from God that if his word goes forth, he will honor it and it'll accomplish what he pleases. Cheryl and I live up in Brockway, but we haven't always lived there. For 11 years, we lived in Malaysia. And while we were in Malaysia, we had the opportunity to go down to Singapore and visit down there, which is the southern tip of Malaysia. And we heard the story of a man named Jacob Kashi while we were there. And Jacob had one driving ambition in life. He wanted to gain all the money and possessions that he could. And that led him into the world of drugs and gambling and smuggling. And eventually, he became the lord of an international smuggling network. But then he was arrested and placed in a government drug rehabilitation prison right there in Singapore. And he was frustrated beyond all personal endurance. He just couldn't handle it anymore. All his goals, his dreams, and ambitions for life were just locked up in that tiny cell with him, and he couldn't do anything about it. His heart was full of cold emptiness. But he had this going for him. He was a smoker. He smoked tobacco. And you say to yourself, well, how's that going to help him? Well, the Lord can use many strange ways to do it. And here's how the Lord used it. He couldn't get cigarettes in there, so they had to roll their own cigarettes. And he got the tobacco smuggled in. And where do you think he found the paper to make his cigarettes? Perfect size. He just ripped out the pages, laid the tobacco in there, and rolled it up and smoked it. One day, he was smoking his cigarette, and when he fell asleep at the end of it, just kind of conked out, he woke up, and he unrolled that little bit of paper that was there, and he read these words on it. It said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You've heard those words before. You've read the story, and you might think, well, what's happening here? Well, somehow, the Holy Spirit was working in Jacob's heart, and Jacob couldn't put those words down. He had to find out, what does that mean? Where did this come from? Who's being persecuted here? And so Jacob asked for another copy of God's word from somewhere else, and he had to find the story in the Bible where that came from. Well, of course, he ripped up his Bible. He couldn't tell where it came from, so he had to start reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. He was in the book of Acts before he found the story of Saul on the road to Damascus, and Jesus met him there with the bright light and struck him down. He read the entire story, and he read that Saul was such a violent sinner, destroying the church, destroying Christians. Men, women, boys, and girls are being destroyed because of what Saul was doing. And Jacob thought, boy, if God can save a wretch like Saul, surely he can save a wretch like me too. And there in his cell, he knelt and he prayed, asking Christ to come into his life and change him too. He began crying and he couldn't stop. The tears of a wasted life washed away his pain, and God redeemed him. He started sharing his story with other prisoners, and soon he was released and he became involved in the church. He met a Christian woman. They married, and they became missionaries in the Far East, where he tells people far and wide, who would have believed that I could find the truth of God by smoking the Word of God? Here was a man who had no real ambition in life, but he was lost in his sins and headed to hell until Jesus Christ intervened. When we lived in Malaysia, we lived at a place called Tanjung Bunga. Not that it makes a difference to you. I don't think many people know that little village there. But across the street from our school where we were teachers, there was a hotel called the Novotel Hotel. And my daughter, Charity, was 3 years old when we went there. And every night when we went to bed, we had our story time and we prayed. But one of the things we prayed for was that hotel, because I went there several times with the Gideons throughout the next 2 or 3 years, and they would never accept Bibles for their hotels. 111 hotels on that Bible, and almost all of them were accepting Bibles. There's about 12 hotels on that island that did not accept Bibles. So my daughter Charity and I, we were praying, and we just every night, that was part of our prayer. But after you bless the family, you pray for that hotel, that they open their doors and Bibles would be placed there. And finally, after about 9 or 10 years, I can't remember exactly, but toward the end of our stay there, they finally did open the door. God was faithful and opened that door. And God in Revelation says, if he opens up a door, no one can shut it. And if he shuts the door, no one can open it. So this all has to do with God himself intervening in this case and the prayers. But I say this to you for this reason. If you, as the church, don't pray that God will open doors here in Jefferson County, Clearfield County, or Clarion County, whatever, the doors won't open. Satan can close doors pretty tight, but God can open them. And that's why we need the church to support this ministry, that God's word will go forth and prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. We also made regular school distributions when we were in Malaysia. One of the Gideons there was Eddie Lim. He was kind of like my mentor, a few years older than me at the time. And he helped me get used to the culture there and used to all the customs and way of doing things there. Eddie and I went to Burma Road Girls' School. It's a school for middle school girls, about ages 5th grade to 8th grade, in that range. And The principal, we found out, she was a Chinese lady, but she wasn't a Christian, but she was very supportive of the Christian faith. And she says, okay, you bring the Bibles, and I'll go to each classroom with you. And she introduced us. She said, told all the girls that they need one of these books. Everybody took one. So that was kind of surprising. It's not very often you get 100% participation at a school where everybody takes a Bible, but when the principal tells you to take one, you take one. And I can't tell you what happened to 499 copies of God's Word that we distributed that day. That's still in the Lord's hands, and maybe someday I'll find out what happened to them. But I did find out what happened to one copy of God's Word that Eddie and I distributed that day. I don't know if I or Eddie distributed it, but 2 years later, jump ahead now, we're at a high school down the road. It's a co-ed school, and the principal there, when we asked to distribute, said, sure, you can distribute, but it's a big school. We got 10 minutes between periods, so if one of you stands out at this end of the hallway, one of you stands that way, you'll catch most of the kids when they're in the hallway, but he didn't want us to go in the classrooms. So Eddie took a few boxes down there at that end of the hall. I took a few boxes down this end of the hall, and the bell rang, and we were ready, passing them out right and left. But the hallway was wide, like from me to the first pew there, and if kids were avoiding me, they'd just walk on the far side there, and I couldn't reach them. I just reached them this side. Well, a girl saw that I was having a problem reaching everybody, and she said, can you use some help? And I thought, well, sure. So we gave her a box. She stood on the other side of the hallway, and for 10 minutes, we passed out the Bibles there. And after the 10 minutes was gone, the bell rang, and everybody was gone, she stayed around for another minute. And she said, were you one of the people that distributed these Bibles down at the girls' school a couple years ago? And I said, well, yeah, I think I was, because I remember going there with Eddie. And she said, I'm ashamed to tell you that I did get a Bible that day, but I didn't read it. I took it home and I stuck it in my top drawer. And I just left it sit there. But she said, here, now this is important. She said, one Saturday morning when we had no school, I just was curious. I woke up and I said, what was that book? So I opened it up and I began reading it that day. She said, I read it all that Saturday. And she said, Sunday, I told myself, I'm going to find a church and go to it. She found a church, Georgetown Baptist, and she started going there. One of the other Gideons, Dr. Olak Heng, was a member there at that church. And she attended church there. And she said, but I want you to pray for my family. They haven't been going to church. They don't persecute me or anything like that, but they just don't come to church with me. They're all Buddhist. And I thought to myself, nobody spoke to her. The principal didn't, teach her about God's Word, because she wasn't that type of principal. The Gideons, we didn't get a chance to speak to her. No pastor came and invited her to church. It was only God himself speaking through his own word that accomplished that miracle in her life. And she accepted her life, or she accepted the Lord into her life as a result of that. But I thought, what would have happened if God had not been faithful to his word? Let's back up now. Remember that part I told you that she said it was a Saturday morning? The Gideons, not just here in Jefferson County, but all around the world, Saturday morning is usually prayer breakfast day. And we'd get together and we'd have prayer meeting. But before we pray, or before we eat breakfast, we would pray. And almost every Gideon around our table there in Penang would pray a sentence or two similar to this. Lord, we pray that the scriptures that we have distributed recently would not be left in vain, but you would accomplish what you please. And even today, this Saturday morning, we would be specific and pray this day that you would cause those scriptures to be opened and that hearts would be touched through the reading of your word today. And that was our prayer, a fervent prayer that we would see God's working because of what he does, not because of what we do, but because of what he does. And that was the same time that the girl, I'm not even sure what time of Saturday morning it was, but I wouldn't be surprised, knowing God's timing, that it was the exact same time that we were praying, that he accomplished what he pleases. And it's a miracle, and it shouldn't surprise us, because we got to have our faith and trust in the Lord to know that he is capable and he is faithful to keep his word. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There were two Gideons in North Carolina working in a harvest field. They were driving through the town and they came to a small hotel. And they asked the lady that was in charge, they said, could we distribute, put Bibles in your hotel rooms and place them on the bedstands for you? And she said, sure, that's no problem. So she let them do it. That was the Bible Belt. It is expected down there. But when they finished, they asked, could we pray for your hotel and for you and if put the Lord's blessing here? And she gave permission for that. When they finished praying, she was crying. And they thought something was wrong, so they asked her. And she says, well, nothing's the matter. It's just that I've never heard anybody pray like that. Like, you're actually talking to the Lord like he's a real person. And they said, he is. He's real. He was crucified. He's back. He came back alive. He was resurrected. He's living with us today. He's living in our hearts. And she says, that's just so strange and foreign to me. Well, with that testimony out of the way, they're gone. She's cleaning the hotel rooms day after day after that. And she says, she began to pick up those scriptures when she was finished cleaning the room, and she would read a little bit here and there. And finally, the Holy Spirit began to speak to her, and she said, I can't go on living the way I've been living. I've got to know more. So she told her boyfriend, you got to start taking me to church. Well, he started taking her to church, and just a few weeks after that, both her husband, and their two daughters, all four of them, went forward to accept the Lord as their Savior. But where would that family have been had not God's word been in the right place at the right time? Somebody was praying, the Gideons prayed that day, that the Lord would bless, and the Lord truly did bless in that case. It all goes back to Isaiah 55, verse 11. I guess if I could leave one memory verse for you that you could memorize today, it's Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I know when the preacher's up here preaching on regular Sundays, you probably go home and eat Sunday lunch and you don't remember that much of it. But there ought to be at least one Bible verse, one word of God that you can always stick with you. And that's the verse I want to leave you with today, Isaiah 55, 11. There's another testimony of a man who was in the hospital. He's a critical care patient, and he opens his testimony like this. He says, I don't want to die and go to hell. One evening, this Gideon was distributing Bibles, New Testaments, in a hospital, and he was asked to visit patients in the critical care unit. The boy's name was Randy. He wasn't really a boy, a young man, 39 years old. He had very serious health problems, and he was in such poor health that he couldn't even move himself on the bed or roll over. He was totally dependent upon others to take care of him. And earlier in the day, the doctors came around and talked with Randy and said, you need to talk about a do not resuscitate order. And what that means is when you pass out, we're going to take our hands off and just let you die. Well, that didn't sound quite right to Randy, because he knew that he wasn't ready to die and go out and meet the Lord. Randy did not understand why they were so willing to give up on him. When the Gideon walked into the room, Randy was talking with one of the nurses, and Randy was crying. He told the nurse that he did not want to die and go to hell. He said that he had never hurt anyone, and he had done some really bad things in his life. But he felt the end was near, and there was no hope. He knew that he would be in hell in just a matter of minutes or hours, however long he had left, till it was all over. But for the next 2.5 hours, Randy and the Gideon sat there and talked and cried together. Randy told the Gideon that he wished he had made something of his life, that he had been a better person, but it was just too late. Too late for me, he said, and now I'm on my way out. The Gideon told him it's not too late, that he could still change his life if he would only put his faith in God. Remember in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Randy heard those words, he was willing to make a change in his life. Randy prayed and asked God to forgive him, and that day Randy accepted the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. He was now in God's hands, and he was assured that it was going to be all right, live or die. And God would either heal him or call him home to be with him. For the next few nights, the Gideon says, it was difficult to sleep. He found himself wondering just how many other people there are like Randy out there who have not heard the gospel, who have not yet made a decision for Christ, and they don't even have a clue how close they are to leaving this life and going on. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, we must work while it is day, for the night is coming when no man can work. There's going to reach a point when it's too late to go out and distribute Bibles. There's going to be a point in life when it's too late to even pray for somebody that you know, a loved one, or a stranger even, that's just a neighbor that's not accepted the Lord as their Savior. And remember our goal, to see lost men and women and boys and girls come to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Because it's Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And if they don't have the Word of God in here where they need it, they leave the world without Jesus. There are three ways that the Gideons need the local church to participate. I've already mentioned the praying part. Gideons cannot open doors. I mean, only God can do that. And God works through prayers, through the prayers of his saints, through the prayers of his church, as the doors open up. Second way, I alluded to earlier, the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. If we have no Gideons, no workers to go out into the harvest field to place those Bibles, if that Gideon had not been there in 1905 when my grandfather was a little boy and needed a scripture, Grandpa wouldn't have got that Bible. So somebody, somewhere, has got to bring the Bibles, and we need workers to go out into the harvest field. The Gideons are made up of Christian businessmen and college graduates and so on that are able to come to the prayer meetings, able to go to the monthly meetings and make Bible distributions. But just if you need more information, Brother Duane can, or any of the Gideons here in county can give you more information on how to become a Gideon. But pray that the Lord will raise up laborers into his harvest field, that those scriptures be distributed. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. And that's the two of them. The third way is the offering. Scriptures like this are $1.25. For $1.25, you can place a Bible in one of those 90 different countries around the world, or one of those 200 countries around the world, or 90 different languages. So just $1.25. For a $5, a bigger full-size Bible like this or this can be placed in a hotel or a hospital or wherever those Bibles are placed. And the offering is taken after the service, but then the offering is technically, it's taken all year long, because I saw your church has a Bible rack in the back, or not a Bible rack, but a Bible card rack in the back. Those are memory cards and honor cards. So if you've got somebody that you'd like to honor, like graduation, a marriage, a special accomplishment that they've done, fill out a card, say, I'd like to donate so many Bibles in your honor for this thing that you've done. Or if somebody dies in memory of that person, if somebody died, you know, it's a year ago, and next Tuesday, you want to fill out and give a memory card in their honor. Fill out the card, the instructions are in there, and it'll tell you how to do that. But that's how God's word goes forth. Somebody donates, somebody prays, opens the door, and somebody uses their feet and their hands to take the Bibles where they need to be. God is faithful to his word, and he does not let it return to him void. And that's the premise that we go on. I want to close with one last testimony here. Eddie Lim went to Burma Road Gospel Hall. There's a church on Burma Road, not too far from that girls' school. And he tells me this testimony, and actually I was a part of this testimony, but I don't remember that much about it. But we would go into the prison there in Penang Island, and while we were there at the prison, we would distribute the scriptures and have a little church service for them. We would sing and pray and preach and stuff like that. But I never did meet a man named Tony Ong. But Eddie said he met Tony Ong later. And here's the testimony that Tony gave Eddie. Tony was kind of like Jacob Kashi down in Singapore. He was in there for drugs and in there for all. He was part of the gang, really. And he was the leader of his gang. Tony, he was a mean fellow. And they had a special section. I don't know that much about prisons, but they called it remand. And I think that was kind of like solitary confinement or someplace, but he was not allowed to come to the church services on Saturday afternoon with the Gideons. So I never did get the chance to meet him. But Tony's roommate did come to the church services, and Tony's roommate picked up a little, it was a blue copy that we passed out there, and he took it back to the cell, and Tony says, "Let me see that." You don't argue with Tony, because he was the leader of his gang. He was pretty tough. So the cellmate said, "Sure," and he gave it to him. Tony began reading it, and Tony just thought it was something special. But he was under conviction. He became more grouchy, and he was meaner. And eventually, he was put in solitary confinement, and he had a lot more punishments. And he was getting worse rather than better from reading this. But that was the Holy Spirit convicting him. Because as Tony says later, he says, "I just couldn't live with anybody. Especially, I couldn't live with myself." But while he was there in solitary confinement, that's when he crumbled, and he just fell apart before the Lord, and he cried and wept his way with repentance, and he told the Lord about all his sins, he says, and he admitted that he was a sinner. Well, what does Jesus do when you confess your sins? Jesus redeemed him and saved him. And a lot of times, though, we've been in prison, and we'd see people come to the services and put on a pretense of being saved and making a change in their way of living. And it was just so that they could get extra benefits. Maybe people would buy them extra toothpaste or whatever, you know, kind of things that they needed. Or maybe they were looking for early release, and the parole board would say, "Oh, yeah, they've been reformed now, so they can be released." But with Tony, it was different. He really was changed. Not only did Tony, while he was this last few weeks in prison, spend changed life with a changed testimony there, he was asking for more Bibles and giving them to people like himself that couldn't come to the church services and passing them out there and telling them why they should accept Jesus as their Savior. Tony got out of prison, and he was going around to different places back to his old gang. And you might think, "Oh, back to old gang, that's going to be a bad influence." Well, in Tony's case, though, it was a good influence because he was the good influence on them. Bottom line, let me just cut to the bottom for you. Tony ended up leading his girlfriend and three of his former gang members to the Lord and bringing them to church with him. That's evidence that the Lord really was faithful to his word in accomplishing what he pleased in Tony's life. Tony was seen going into the Baptist bookstore there, and he would buy tracts and stuff to travel around the island there and give to other friends that he knew. Tony was actively busy. He was basically, he didn't have a job when he first got out, but he was living at home with his parents still, and he was full-time Christian worker because of what he was doing, passing out scriptures. April the 3rd, I can't remember what year it was exactly, but April the 3rd, Tony was on his motorcycle driving down to the southern part of the island to take some more scripture tracts to somebody, and a truck ran him over, killed him instantly. He had no chance for anything after that. But he was ready. But he wouldn't have been ready if the Lord hadn't have been faithful to his word. The Lord was faithful to Tony. The Lord was faithful to his word. The Lord kept his promise that his word would not return to him void, but accomplish what he pleases. And I can't tell you what happened to all the other copies we distributed there in the prison or at the schools or the hospitals or Jefferson County Fair. I can't tell you what happens to all them. But I'm sure that someday, when we're in heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord, "Lord, tell me the stories about all these different Bibles that have been distributed and where they went." And I'm expecting the Lord to be faithful to his word. And he's going to tell me, "I kept my promise to you. I did this with this one. I did this with this one." And I don't know what they're all going to be, but I'm trusting the Lord. And that's what we want, as Gideons, we want you to do today. Trust the Lord that he will be faithful to his word and accomplish what he pleases through your prayers, through your offerings, and if you got the time to join the Gideons in that way too. I want to thank you for allowing me to share this ministry about the Gideons International as we represent your church in distributing God's word in those 200 countries around the world in those 90 different languages. It's been a privilege to participate in your worship service today.